fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Listening to Cross the Border, that's the name of this program. My name is Nicholas, and we're continuing our Bible study here, going through the scripture book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And we've ended up in Psalms 89. And let's see, Thou rulest, I'll back up a little bit here, Yahuwah, O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness around about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, Yahuwah, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. And as I go through this, I see references like our horn and thy right hand. And these are terms that I see a lot in prophecy. So what do these terms mean? Of course, right hand is the power, your hand of power. It's what you put your strength in, your right hand. And it signifies your labor, what you do. So it says, high is thy right hand. And it says in here in verse 17, and in thy favor our horn. And the horn also signifies a power or a ruling force. In this case, in context here, it would be the ruling force. Our horn shall be exalted. The ruling force of our life shall be exalted in thy favor. So when we're in his favor, our horn shall be exalted. And the reason I hit on that is because I've been doing a lot of studying into prophecy, and you find a lot about the right hand in prophecy. And of course, that one infamous or famous prophecy of much notoriety is, they shall receive a mark in their right hand. And I might contend that it has absolutely nothing to do with a physical mark in your physical right hand. And of course, then the beasts have horns, and we absolutely know that those horns are referring to powers. When you have beasts with horns, that it's referring to the power that drives the beast, because it's the beast that has the horn. as the beast has several other features, like a mouth that speaketh great things and blasphemies. And so the beast has a mouth, and it's the beast that moves the mouth. Need to pay attention to these things, and then when you get into prophecy, you need to understand how these terms are to be defined by the scripture itself. So we look to the scripture for the definitions of our terms. So we pay attention when we're reading the scripture, and we see these terms turn up, like right hand and horn, and many other terms that turn up in scripture that kind of don't seem, because, you know, how many men do you know who really have horns, you know? So what does it mean? What does the term mean? For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For Yahuwah is our defense. And it's hard for me to, when I see the Tetragrammaton, the 3068 in the Hebrew, not to say the name, because we see two verses before that. In verse 16 it says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And, you know, we are exalted in the righteousness that is imputed to us, the righteousness of Yahshua, the Christ. It is His righteousness. It is His blood that redeems us. And it is in His name, Yahushua, which is that name above all names. So much emphasis on the name throughout the Psalms that it's hard for me to neglect it. And perhaps, you know, when I got my paperback edition of the King James Bible, which before I got the eSort, I had to look up all these words, and it was hard to have. It wasn't in my face like it is now when I open up this eSword, and it's like it shines a light into the original language, and I see the emphasis on the name, and then I see the name, and I have to connect it. So to me, this is what my biblical studies leads me to do, to proclaim the name in its fullness phonetically. And, you know, I'm not about, there are some out there that carry it to an extreme and they say, well, you have to pronounce the name correctly or you're not saved. Or, I mean, I don't even know how people can go there. You can't go there. At least I can't go there, because that's breaking it down to works. And now God has to accept me because I can say the name phonetically correctly. I don't think so. I think that the Heavenly Father cares more about whether we're living a life that's pleasing to Him, whether we're keeping His commandments with the right motivation. And of course, the proper motivation is because we love Him. That's the proper motivation, because we desire to please Him. We keep His commandments with a pure heart. We're not like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, of which there are plenty out there, you know, that are going to stand before God one day. They're going to stand before the great judge, the King, Yahshua, one day, who is given the right to judge. And they're going to stand before Him one day, and they're going to say, but didn't I? Didn't I cast out devils in Your name? Didn't I bring many? You know, didn't I have the great crusades? Wasn't I on the TV? Didn't I? And that's what they're going to say. And then there are going to be some standing before Him saying, I wasn't as bad as that guy or that guy. You know, I mean, and it's going to fall so flat so quickly that they're going to be silent so quickly. But He said it, in that day many will come to Me and will proclaim, didn't I cast out demons in Your name? That's going to be their defense against heaven. You're going to say, man, I got my ticket to heaven. Look, didn't I? Or I wasn't as bad as. I'm a good man. I wasn't as bad as that other guy. Self-righteousness in any form is not going to cut it. Nobody is going to be owed heaven because He paid the price. No one. But I'm still with James on that. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Because if the good works don't follow the faith, then the faith needs to be investigated. Well, not by others, by the one who's proclaiming it, by the one who isn't producing the good works. And you got to figure out, is that faith real or not? Because there's going to be some that are going to stand before him in that day, and they're going to say things like, I went to confession, or I walked down the aisle and they told me that no one would ever snatch me out of your hand. They told me that my salvation was assured. They assured me that I would get to go to heaven when I die. And he's going to have the same message for them. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You had a false assurance. You really didn't care. You wanted to continue in your idolatry and your wickedness. And you thought you could, but you deceived yourself because you knew every time you were doing something wrong that you would not allow my Holy Spirit to convict you. You blaspheme my Holy Spirit continually, who is trying to convict you of sin so that you could have your law written in your heart and you could be my people and I could be your God. For the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Psalm 89, verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in him and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And of course, this is absolutely and definitely a reference to the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, his firstborn, the only begotten Son of God. There's no other on the earth that can have that title of the only begotten Son of God. Adam, the first Adam, he was a created man. He wasn't begotten at all. And every son of Adam, including me and you, we are begotten of Adam and the sons of Adam. He is the only begotten Son of God because God created a new seed and planted it in the virgin. He created that seed in the womb of a virgin. And out of that came the only begotten Son of God. No other seed of God. There is no other virgin-born man of God. Any other fakers out there, copycats, preemptive, whatever, counterfeits from the enemy. There's only one, and he is that one, Yahshua. Yahuwah is our salvation. And that's the reference here. Higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. And another title of him is the messenger of the covenant. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And who is the seed of the Messiah? But it's the seed of faith. The scripture proclaims it clearly. He did not, if he would have had any more children, he did not have any more children. The Messiah, contrary to the Da Vinci Code and all of these fictional tales that are out there, whether people believe them or not, that many people believe it doesn't make it true. You know, if you really examine this, Yahshua, could he have? Well, he could have. Did he? The scripture records that he was not married and he did not have any children. It records that by the omission of it. But let's speculate for a moment. If the man who was born of the virgin, the only begotten Son of God, let's say he did have children. Let's really think about that for a moment. And those children were born of a woman. Of course, they would have been born of a new seed line. I'm not saying this happened, but I'm saying let's think about it. Let's postulate what would have happened. And we'll see that it is empty, that there's nothing there. Because let's say they would have been born of the seed of Yahshua, an uncorrupted seed. A seed that, and here's something else that I thought about, Yahshua being born of an uncorrupted seed, if he had not willingly laid down his life to be killed of men, he would have never died. He would have lived forever. Because why? Why would he have lived forever? Well, because he didn't deserve death. Death had no claim on him. Death could not take him like death takes us, because he was not born of a corrupt seed. Yes, he was born of a woman, but the seed was, he was the only begotten seed of God. He was not born of a corrupt seed, so death could not take him. He had to give himself to death. So we understand that. If you want a little more understanding, if that's not clear to you, go watch that video on my website at crosstheborder.org. You'll see a video there on the front page. Perhaps it'll clarify it a little bit for you. But, okay, so we understand that. So anyone born of the seed of the Messiah, if he was to, which I don't believe he did, so I want everyone to understand that, that I believe that on purpose he did not. He could have. He was a man. He was all man. He was a man like you and me, except for he was not born of corrupted seed, whereas we were. Death will take all of us. He had to give himself to death. And he gave himself to death for us, certainly not for himself. He didn't need to die for himself. He gave himself to death. So, if, as many people now believe, because they believe this fantasy, this fiction of the Da Vinci Code, and many people believe they're of that line. But the problem would be, if they were of that line, all of their progenitors would only have died at the hands of other men. Because death would not have taken them. They would not die of natural causes because they were not of a corrupt seed. Is that right? But where does it lead? If any of them had sinned, okay, let's carry that further, and let's say that actually there were men born. The minute they sinned, they would be corrupted and at the same status as every other son of Adam. And they would have, because they were not God in the flesh. So it would have ended, even if that was allowed. And you can see why the Messiah, why God Almighty, would withhold himself from that. Because it would only bring confusion. And he is not the author of confusion. And we already have the confusion on the speculation or the deception that is the Da Vinci Code. So if we think about that, we meditate on it, we carry it out to its logical conclusion, either those people would have lived forever because death couldn't take them, because they were not corrupt, they were not born of a corrupt seed, or they would have sinned eventually and would have got what they deserved, death, corruption, because they would have been corrupted by their own sin. And so they all would have died out within the 2,000 years between now and then. No, Yahshua did not marry Mary Magdalene. He did not have any children. And I believe that. That is what I believed. That he withheld and abstained himself from many things for our sake, and also willingly gave himself to death for our sake. And any man who would give himself to death, he did not come here to start a new seed line. He came here to end a seed line. That's right. He came to end a seed line. You know, why or not? If he came to start or continue a seed line, why do we not have that seed line now in more scriptures? Because our Heavenly Father was faithful to record the seed line from Adam to Yahshua Jesus. He was faithful. Why does it end there? Because he came to end the seed line, not to continue or start a new one, because it really wouldn't have been a new one. It would have been a continuation of the old one from Adam. We don't have it. Our Heavenly Father wiped it out. And Yahshua said himself in the words, when he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that was his reference to the end of the seed line. That's right. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why our Heavenly Father, who was faithful to give us the genealogies from Adam until Christ, ended it there. He did not come for that purpose, to continue that genealogy, that seed line. He came to end it. And he did put an end to it for our sake, for the same reason that he gave himself to death, so that by faith his blood could be applied to our account and to the account of everyone that was part of the congregation of the righteous that went before him. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
When parents weep, there is a greater love. When children lose their way, a greater love. When his guard, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old bike.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border, And we're going to continue here in going through the scripture. And we're in 89, Psalm 89, verse 29. We're talking about the Messiah. Verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed, and that's what we're talking about, the seed of the Messiah, also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, but if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Are you ready for stripes? Are you ready for the rod? You know, I am so glad I have to join David there, because when I began my walk with our Creator back when I was so ignorant and knew absolutely nothing, well, I needed the rod and I needed stripes, and I'm glad that he was faithful with me to bring me to this point. And many of you, there are some, I have some good friends that grew up in a godly household, and they learned the word of God from a young age, and they were tutored in it, and they grew up to keep his commandments. So they're spared many stripes, and they're spared that rod, at least to a degree. We all get it if we are loved of him, as the scripture says, that if we, as fathers, if we withhold the rod, that we hate our child. And in the context here, he is speaking of those that are his seed. He said, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. And you know, that applies today. We need to learn his law. We need to learn his judgments, and we need to learn to walk in them. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. Yahshua said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And you know, Yahshua was Yahuwah. He was God in the flesh. And he also, to even more explicitly, for those that just want to hold to the New Testament, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says Jesus is Lord, can carry that expression out to the expression that people use today. They say, Jesus is Lord, or I just love Jesus, or, you know, I love the Lord. They say all these things. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And at the time he said that, well, you know, what was the will of the Father? He gave it. He wrote it explicitly in his statutes and commandments and judgments. We have that. So if we read these words, we can't apply them to us. We can't just say, well, that was for them children of Israel, because then you're asking for the rod. You're asking for stripes. And you're hopefully you'll get them if you're his and ignoring his law and his judgments, because they will bring you to him. So if his children forsake my law, you want to be a child of God? Don't forsake his law. And walk not in my judgments. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. And I am so glad. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out from my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. And he kept his word fully, completely to David. If anyone can show me where he hasn't kept his covenant with Israel, and his covenant with David, show it to me. He has kept it completely and completely fulfilled every bit of it. His seed shall endure forever. And that's, of course, through the Messiah, his seed shall endure forever. We are the seed of Abraham by faith. We are the seed of the Messiah by faith. His blood is on us. We have his blood. We are now the bloodline of David. because his blood is applied to our account forever, we get to escape death. His seed shall endure forever in his throne as the Son before me. And of course, the throne referring to Yahshua, the Messiah, that seed line that ended with the Messiah, because there is no seed line. What would be the purpose of having a seed line continue? There is no purpose. He fulfilled it. He is the end of it. He is the end, the fulfillment, the completion. There's no further need for genealogies. Paul proclaimed it, and the Messiah proclaimed it when he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit. Worthless. Genealogies are worthless. The proclamation of your Jewishness is worthless. And yes, I would be addressing the whole messianic Jewish movement. The proclamation of your Jewishness is worthless. That's right. Don't look to these men who say, I'm a Jew, and they adopt Jewish names and they start speaking Hebrew words. Every other word is Hebrew, and to impress people, to draw men after, followers after them. There are a lot of false messianics out there. It shall be established forever as the moon, as the faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. And there we have the right hand again, for the understanding of what the right hand refers to. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease. Thou hast cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth thou hast shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Yahuwah, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like a fire? And of course, this is a reference to the Heavenly Father withholding his favor from Israel, from the kings of Israel, from the judges of Israel, from the disobedience of national Israel. That's what this is a reference to. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses? Thou swearest unto David in thy truth. Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, Yahuwah, where they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be Yahuwah forevermore. Amen and amen. Psalm 90 and verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 yet. In their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Whoso knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear and thy wrath? And, you know, a lot of people use this, the 1,000 years, and they want to carry that over to prophecy and things like that. Well, you know, that would be taking it out of context. I think that's a misuse of Scripture to take the proclamation of 1,000 years being as a day or as yesterday as it is here and proclaim several places throughout the scripture. I believe that's a misapplication of Scripture and taking it out of context, because the context is not transferable to prophecy. Here, this is an absolute proclamation in context of what it is about the life of man, the life of individual men, and how short it really is and how limited it is. And I believe that's exactly what we should take away from here. For we are consumed by thine anger, and thy wrath we are troubled. And you know, this is applicable to all of us. It is the corruption that shortens our life, the corrupt seed that we are born with, and our own iniquity. We are corrupt from the beginning. We need to accept that. And those of us, by faith, you know, because of what we were, because of the corruption of our fathers, because of the sin, we are consumed. It is his anger that ended the life of man, that brought upon us that death sentence. That death sentence says that we shall surely die. That was the proclamation. You shall surely die. That was the death sentence received by Adam and Eve. And that is the death sentence we are all born with. This, because of his anger, if you want to put it in those terms, that is the reason. It is his wrath that our life comes to an end. His wrath and his anger. But he has mercy at the same time. Proclaim throughout these same psalms that proclaim his anger. We are consumed. He includes himself. He includes all of us. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. And we all have the trouble in our flesh. We get older and we see more trouble in our flesh. We cannot escape the death sentence in our flesh. But by faith we are saved. By faith we know that we will be redeemed. We will be restored to that estate that was lost. We will be restored to an estate that is better than that which is lost, because it will be an estate which we can never lose, that will never be lost. So it will be better than the first estate. It will be better than the estate of the Messiah, even that estate that he was born with. Because he could have been born, I mean, he could have had children, but they all would have lost the estate that they were born with if they were born with an uncorrupt seed, just as Adam and Eve. So the speculation, that's why it ends. When you speculate, when you carry it out, you see that it's fruitless. The whole Da Vinci Code thing, the whole seed of the Messiah seed line thing, it's all fruitless. It all ends in the same place. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength be 80 or more, which they can be, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Yes, let us fly away to the resurrection of the righteous, if we're going to fly away. That is the hope that we have in Messiah, in Yahshua. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? And even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, it's those who don't look at death. They don't look at the mortality who don't fear. They don't apply their hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days. Yes, let our mortality be forever and ever be before our face, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, Yahuwah. How long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And here we see the hope. We see the light. He gives us the bad news, you know, is our mortality. And the bad news is our iniquities are before us. And our strength fails. But the good news is that His mercy. Oh, satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may be rejoiced and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days that Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And we see evil, yes, all around us, especially in our affliction, especially those, you know, I lift up a special prayer for all those that are suffering the affliction of evil right now. You know, those that are in prison cells, those whose families have been torn apart, their children have been stolen. That's affliction. That's evil, and they're suffering it. It will not be so in those days. It will not be so in the resurrection. It will be an irrevocable glory that we will have. It will be a glory that can never be lost. That's what we have to look forward to. Death will be put to death, the last enemy to be conquered, death itself. Let's continue here. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. What is it if you are saved? If you save your own soul, and all of your children die in iniquity and without repentance. It is so important that we teach our children. And those of you that are young and have young children, man, pull them away. Get them out of the indoctrination of the ungodly pagan public school system. Pull them out immediately and start teaching them at home. You know, the Heavenly Father will reward your obedience. Remember the words of the Messiah: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. You may have to do with less. You may lose a few things. So what? What's more important to you? The lives, the souls, the status of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren forever? You're going to lose their souls for what? For your comfort? For convenience? The convenience of having bank accounts and getting loans? The convenience? What are the souls of your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren worth? Will you sell their souls for mammon to maintain your standard of living? You know, you really have to ask that question. I think that's what it really comes down to. Most people will not couch it in those terms. But I am. What are their souls worth? That new car, that $30,000-$40,000 automobile, that $200,000-$400,000 home that you're living in and you have to make payments on, so both you and your wife have to work very hard to pay for all those things? Is that what their souls are worth? I mean, just not just your children, but your grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. Do you care about them? Oh, don't believe the lie of the corporate church, we're all going to leave today. Or Jesus is coming back tomorrow. The end of the world is at hand. I like the futurists. It's always out in the future, but it's really close. It's any day now, but it's never here. How convenient is that? You don't have to change things. You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast now. You don't have to worry about receiving benefits from the beast. You'll take the benefits from the beast, because it's out in the future, it's never here now. But it's any day, so you don't have to worry about the future, and you don't have to worry about your children and what they're going to learn, because certainly Jesus is going to come, you know, in the next few years. And since you're following the Lord, since you have faith and you said the prayer and all that stuff, you walked down the Romans road and they assured you you're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, certainly your children are going to come with you, so you don't have to worry about them. And you're not going to have any grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren in the future scheme, in the corporate church scheme of things. So you don't have to worry about that. So you can just go on and make all the compromises and get all the mammon and the things. You could put all those things first before the kingdom of God. Oh, what a tangled web. And now you're stuck in it and you feel like you can't get out of it. And so you'll just put your blinders back on. I'm prying the scales off your eyes. But do you want to see the truth? Do you want the scales to fall off? Then keep listening to Cross the Border and make sure you cross the border into His kingdom. Don't let Him lead you up and suffer you not to enter. Make sure you enter His kingdom now, because it's only if you are in His kingdom when your mortality ends that you will be in His kingdom forever. Well, in everything you say and everything you do, bless and His holy name. Hallelujah.
You name me. Who am I that I should company with something so divine?